You know, I picked these three subjects because I think they really encompass every doctrine in the Scripture. When you think about salvation, I mean, you can go many different ways on the doctrine of salvation. Justification, you can preach on just about every subject having to do with redemption, you know, propitiation. You can go just about any direction with it, right? Progressive sanctification. Brother Novello made it clear today that we are sanctified, amen? We're being sanctified and we will be sanctified, right? But progressively we're being made more holy. We're being changed into His image even by the Spirit of God, right, as we grow in Christ. So these are great subjects. They're very important subjects in the Christian life. I was going to do mine first, but since I was doing this, I don't like to be first, right? I actually was going to count myself out tonight, but just decided since we were going to do short messages, I'd go ahead and do this. But, you know, I'm often accused of being Armenian. You know, I'm a Calvinist. I've been a Calvinist I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe in infant baptism and all many, many things Brother John Calvin believed. But I am a Calvinist in the sense of what they call a Calvinist through the soteriological positions of the Scripture, right? I believe in total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints, right? I've believed those for 35 years. I was saved 5 years when God brought a person into my life. I was an evangelist out on the streets preaching every day, right? Young man, and when that first came to me, buddy, I said, no, that's a doctrine of devils, right? I mean, if God already knows, if He already chose, then what in the world am I doing out here preaching, right? So I discovered that the only thing that makes it worth me going out and preaching is that God has a people that He's going to redeem, right? If everybody could resist it, then we might not even see a soul saved, right? So salvation is of the Lord. I believe God's the one that saves sinners, right? I believe that with all my heart. But just as much as I believe that God is sovereign and He has chosen in Him from the foundation of the world who's going to save, I also believe that man, every man, is responsible. 100% responsible. If you die without Christ, it's because you wanted to, right? Now, I understand no man can. I've believed that for 35 years, right? But man is totally responsible, right, for what he does. Can't blame it on God. You can't say, well, you know, don't even bother telling them because they can't come, right? Well, that would contradict what Jesus said. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? And I've believed that ever since I've been a Calvinist, right? Now, I believe when you learn something, you go from one extreme, you know, to another extreme, right? And then in time, as you learn and you grow, you begin to get a balance, right? And I believe that's true with every doctrine in the Bible. There's two sides of every coin, amen? There's sovereignty of God and there's man's responsibility. And you can't make those two fit together and look right in this life. I just don't believe you can. We've tried it, right? Because in order to do that, you got to make one more than the other, and on the other side, one more than the other. And what I mean by that is you have to cancel out part of one to hold the other. But you can hold both of them together, preach them together, and you don't have to, you know, people don't always have to understand, right? I don't understand the Trinity, but I believe it. I've spent weeks now on the deity of Christ in prison, right? And I think that's what part of what we're going to see in this message, right? There's a balance in everything we preach, right? I'm a Calvinist, and I don't make any bones about that, right? I believe everybody that God chose is going to get saved. Not one of them is going to be lost, right? God's going to save them, but He's going to save them through means. He's going to save them through the preaching of the gospel and the working of His power and His Spirit in the circumstances of man. God brought me to the place where my life was a mess and there was nothing I could do about it. He used every circumstance in my life to bring me to a place of hopelessness. And in that place of hopelessness, That's where I found him. Amen. I say, somebody said, no, you didn't find him. He found you. No, he never lost me. He always knew where I was. I found him that day. I found him because he opened my eyes, but there he was right there. Amen. I don't like to go too far. I mean, men need to come to Christ, and we need to tell them that they need to come. Amen. If we don't tell people that they can come to Christ, then they won't. There is no passive salvation. There's no passive conversion. Conversions are something men think about and then decide to do. Right? Now, you may not agree. Well, nobody can decide. Yeah, they can. They will decide. They will decide in the day of His power. Right? But it's not going to be through a passive situation. It's going to be through a situation of commandment, invitation, whatever, right? God works and uses means to call us. When He called Lazarus, He called a dead man. But let me ask you a question. Would Lazarus have got up if He hadn't have called him? No. A dead man can't get up, right? There had to be power in the call. You know, we call that the effectual call, right? But there had to be power in the call, but there had to be a call, right? Now, we know Lazarus was physically dead. Did you know a spiritually dead man has the capability of doing an action? A dead man, physically dead man, don't. It's like Pink said, you have the faculty of will. You have that. You will make a decision one way or another. You're going to decide, right? You're going to decide whether you're going to or whether you're not, because you have that faculty, right? Now, you're not going to make the right choice unless God works in you and draws you and brings you to that place, right? And in that place of regeneration, you believe. When you believe, you're regenerated. When you're regenerated, you believe, right? It all just, boom, like a bullet going through a hole. But I want you to see something in this passage, right? Because tomorrow, I'm not trying to be controversial, but this is something that's burning my heart right now, and I can't get it out. And I've learned a long time ago, you can't get something out unless you get it out, right? You say it and you preach it. If you look with me at verse 23, John chapter 2, verse 23, I just want to point out something to you, very simple, and I hope you can just bear with me for a minute. I love being a Christian, brother. You hear me? I love being a Christian. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I'd rather be a Christian than anything else, right? I've been persecuted. I've been spit on. I've been slapped. I've been mocked. I've been cursed. I've had guns stuck in my face. I've been slapped. I've had my teeth knocked out. I've had knives this long pulled on me, stuck in my ribs, and said, shut up, preacher, or you're dead. Right? I'm not no tough guy, right? But in those times, there was a couple of times where God said to me, it's time to go. You can stand here and be a fool and get your head blew off, or you can go, right? There are times where God told me, no, just go, or He will pull the trigger, right? And I went, right? But I came back, right? And when I came back, God had already worked on him, and he was ready to hear, right? But I'm just telling you, we've been living for Christ for 40 years, man. I've never sat on my couch. There were times in my early Christianity where I didn't know what to do because I didn't have nobody to teach me, right? I didn't know that I could go out on the streets and preach the gospel, hand out tracts, witness to people. I heard a message by a guy that did it one day. I was sitting there trying to figure out what to do with my weekend. And I can sit here and watch TV. You know, I've been praying and studying for 2 days, and I'm kind of getting stir crazy, you know. But then I heard some voices down the street, and I just kept hearing them, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do this weekend? So I kept hearing those voices, so I walked down there. There's this whole big old group of teenagers out there. So the Lord just put it on my heart. You got those tracts, go give them to them. So the first time ever, I went out there and just started handing out tracts to those guys, and within 30 minutes, I had that whole crowd around me, people shooting questions at me and some arguing with me, you know, but God took that time. He used that time to draw the gospel out of me, and all those other people that weren't arguing, they were hearing the gospel, right? And man, that was the first time I ever did that. And, I felt the power of God in that thing. And some young people got saved out of those circumstances, right? But I've never sat around and done nothing, right? I've said things the wrong way and had people understand them, right? I'm not perfect, right? I mean, we think we know stuff, right? We think we just about know everything. We don't know much. We know what little bit we do, right? And what little bit we know, God's going to use. Because if God's going to save them, He's going to save them. Amen? But now I think we need to grow, right? We need to learn. We need to be better Christians. Am I right? I think you can turn people away from Christ. And then God have to use somebody else to come along and win them. Because you had a bad attitude or you had some wrong thing in your mind, right? I believe that, right? I know God's sovereign, but God uses people. Amen? God is absolutely 100% sovereign, but God don't save people without people. He just don't do it. He ordained that. Amen? We're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is, that we can be used too to bring others to Christ. Amen? That's why we're to be conformed to His image. Now, you recall in John chapter 2, verse 23, y'all familiar with this, I'm sure. I don't want to go too far, because if I do, I'll spill over into my message. But you've heard this as well as I have many times. In John chapter 2, verse 2, now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, you know, John starts out this book, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Amen. John starts the gospel out with the deity of Christ. Right? This gospel of John is a book written mainly for evangelism. Right? These things I have written unto you that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing you might have life through His name, right? And so John paints us a picture of the gospel, of the real gospel, right? The truth of the gospel. I have Jehovah's Witness friends. You know, there are people in our church right now that are Jehovah's Witnesses are trying to pull them away, right? And so when I began to preach in this book, the deity of Christ is right there all the way through this book. The deity of Christ. Amen. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in the deity of Christ. The Mormons don't believe in the deity of Christ. Muslims don't believe in the deity of Christ. Right? Nobody believes the deity of Christ but us, but Christians. And so when you look at this passage, it says when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, now He did the miracle in Canaan, turned the water into wine, did some other miracles. He came to the Passover. When He was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in His name. Now, we know it's true. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Very clear. Believing is what saves us from man's side. Amen? Now, they believed, it says. But look what it says. They believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. And I want to do this real quick now, because I just want to make this point, because tomorrow when I do my message, if I make this point now, it'll save me some time then, and it'll make the message a little more clear, a little more easy to deliver. But when they saw the miracles that He did, right, they believed. Pistuo. They believed. Okay, they saw miracles, they believed. But Jesus did not commit Himself to them. Now, if you get your little Greek concordance out, you look at the word commit there, you'll see it's the same exact Greek word, pistuo. They pistuoed in His name. He didn't pistuo them, right? They committed to His name. They believed His name, in His name, right? But He did not commit Himself to them. Because He knew all men, and He knew what's in man, and need not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man, right? Now, I think there's several things that you could consider with this passage, right? Number one, we say that there's a kind of faith that is not saving faith. We say that a lot, right? Now, I believe that that's if you're not careful with that, you're preaching error. Because you can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and not be saved. If you can, then the scripture's not true, right? Now, there's a faith that don't save, of course, but there's not a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that don't save. And let me show you what I mean by that. Whenever they saw his miracles, what are they believing in? I think if you carry over here with me real quick to John chapter 3, you can see that. Because I don't believe it's just the people standing out on the streets that this is talking about. I believe it's talking about Nicodemus, the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the Jews. They all know what's going on. And many of them believed in his name, right? And see what it says. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Right? Now, that's what they believed. That's what these people were believing. They saw the miracles, and the miracles indicated to them that this man is from God. Because no one can do that if God's not with him. Right? Now, that's not the same as being born again. Right? And that's not the gospel. That's not who Jesus is. Right? So they believed, but they didn't believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Right? And I believe probably when it says he didn't commit himself to them, he hasn't even really divulged himself yet. He hasn't really even begun to indicate who he was verbally. Right? So all they know, they see a man doing some miracles, right? Didn't Moses do some miracles? Yeah, Moses parted the Red Sea, did 10 signs to get children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses was a man sent from God. Right? Did Elijah do some miracles? Yeah, Elijah did some miracles. Quite a few. As a matter of fact, Elisha did a few himself, right? And so these are men come from God. Nicodemus and these Jews, these are teachers. He's a teacher come from God. He knows the Old Testament, right? And I think just the same as Pastor Enrique was saying earlier, these people, that's all they knew was the Old Testament. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Verse 10 tells us he was a master in Israel, a master teacher in Israel. So he knows these things, right? He knew the scriptures. But he didn't know who Jesus was. He knew Moses. They knew about Moses and Elijah, the Moses and the prophets, right? Jesus took Moses and the prophets up on the mountain with the disciples and transferred responsibility from them to him and said, hey, you don't have to listen to them anymore, listen to him. Right? There was a transferal of authority there that took place. Because Jesus transcends Moses and Elijah. He's not just a man, a teacher come from God. He's more than that. Now, they believed in his name, though, right? But I believe they didn't. What they believed wasn't the gospel. It wasn't the right thing, right? You can believe about Jesus and believe the wrong thing about Jesus, and that's considered believing, but it's not saving faith, right? It's not that they didn't repent of their sins. They believed, but they didn't repent. Well, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have repented. You can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if you haven't repented. Otherwise, you're preaching repentance as a work before you can believe. They go together. You can't separate them, right? The issue is not, did you repent before you believed? And so now you're a repenting believer. No, it's who do you believe in? If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, the God of this universe, you're going to repent. You don't believe if you don't repent. I challenge you to correct me on that. Because you got to be careful. We end up preaching works for salvation. And faith, you might well just say, therefore, being justified by repentance, we have peace with God. Yes, you got to repent, right? But you're not justified by repentance, you're justified by faith, right? These guys didn't, this wasn't an issue where they were believing and they just weren't repenting. This is an issue, I think, that Jesus hasn't yet divulged himself. He hadn't preached to them yet, the gospel. And so what they were believing was what they saw. Right? Now, he goes on and corrects that, changes that. I believe this is where Jesus really begins to preach. Nicodemus is a teacher of the law, a ruler of the Jews, right? And if you'll notice when we go through this tomorrow, you'll see that everything Jesus said to him was something that he should have already known because he's a master of Israel. When he said, you must be born again, he's referring over to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. See, you're a teacher, you're a master in Israel, and you don't know these things, right? If I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, how are you going to believe if I tell you heavenly things? Right? So I just want to lay the foundation here for the message tomorrow because I don't want to go into it just yet. Jesus simply told Nicodemus. He didn't even correct Nicodemus. He didn't say, no, I'm not just a teacher come from God. I'm the Son of God. Now he begins to implicate that in his soul-winning effort here. I like to call it that. It makes some of my friends mad. You can't win souls. Okay. You can't repent either. But you got to. Because if you don't, you're going to perish. Amen? I'm just saying, right? Jesus begins in his message here to Nicodemus to begins to present the gospel. Yes, he makes it clear you can't see. The reason why Nicodemus didn't know that he was the Son of God was because he wasn't born again. The reason those people didn't know, because they believed because they saw some miracles, right? But they weren't believing the gospel. They weren't believing who Jesus was yet, right? Because they haven't had that opportunity. All they've had is seeing him do miracles. But once they began to hear that, after Nicodemus began to hear that, Nicodemus got saved. But Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus, here's how you get born again. You, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see, right? Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to go too much farther. Except a man be born again, he can't see. That means you can't perceive, you can't understand anything of God. Am I right? You cannot perceive spiritual truth. Let me just give you one example. Nicodemus, when Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he go back in his mother's womb, right? So Nicodemus can't see the kingdom of God. He can't perceive spiritually what Jesus is saying. This is beyond him. Only thing he can think, because he's a natural man, only thing he can think is, man, how's that going to happen? You know, he's picturing himself trying to crawl back up in his mama's womb again, right? And come back out. Why? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't see. You can't perceive. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has now prepared for them that love him. Nicodemus don't believe Jesus is the Son of God because he's not capable of that yet, right? All he sees is these physical miracles, and he says, this has got to be another one of those men of God like Moses or Elijah. And that's where it was. And so he said to Nicodemus, he just begins here to lay it out, right? He lays out that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't correct Nicodemus. He didn't say, no, I'm more than that. He didn't correct him. He just goes, he probably just put this in here for us, right? So we can understand what later years down the road, what was going on back then and why this happened the way it did, right? But he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you can't see it and you can't enter it. You see, did you know that in the new birth and in receiving Christ, once you receive Christ, you have the authority to become the Son of God. We're in adoption, right? You can't enter the kingdom of God in any form, right? You can't become the Son. You're not the Son of God. You're not adopted yet. You can't go physically into heaven either. You can't enter the kingdom of God in any sense. You're not one of God's children, right? Unless you're born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of God. except a man be born again. He can't see or enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Somebody said, well, the water there is referring over to Ezekiel. I believe it's talking about the physical birth, personally. He's talking about being born again, a second birth, right? And then the next verse, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, the water birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, the spiritual birth. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, I'm going to stop right here with this verse, and then tomorrow, do I sound like I'm mad at somebody? Do I? Oh. Do I? Oh, really? I mean, if I do, I got to catch that, because lately I've been catching myself like I'm mad at somebody, right? Trying to preach. You know, when I get mad about stuff, I can preach a little harder, right? Probably don't need that, though, but anyway, it works for me. It helps me to go on and say it, amen? But that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, where it wills. You hear the sound thereof. You can't see where it comes from or where it's going, right? So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. So basically what Jesus says to Nicodemus is you gotta be born again, and it's something that God does, and you can't know anything about it except the results of it, right? He didn't say, and here's how you need to do it. He didn't tell him how to get born again, because that's something God does. Amen? What he does now, and I'll leave it right here and pick this up tomorrow, what he begins to do now is preach the gospel to Nicodemus. He begins now, and I believe without preaching the gospel, people ain't going to get saved. Just preaching on the new birth won't save you. It's not the power of God, right? To salvation. Yes, we need to preach the new birth. I preach it regularly. See, I love to use the new birth to guys in prison. Everybody's got their thing, you know. I ask them, have you been born again? Well, yeah, I've been baptized. No, that's not what I ask you. I ask you, you've been born again. Well, I go to church. I'll repent my sins. I said, what does that mean? You repent your sin. Well, I tell God I'm a sinner. Ask him to forgive me. I said, well, that's not what I ask you, right? Have you been born again? Now, fellas, listen to me. I know I've been born again. I know I have. I was there the day it happened. When it happened, I had no idea what it was. I didn't know that's what happened to me. Right? Sitting there on that bunk in that county jail after Christ came into me, my sins were washed away. The Spirit of God took charge of me. The presence of God filled that room. Peace came into my heart, and I'm sitting here and I don't even know what it's called. Now that happened to me. I ain't saying God happened to you, but that happened to me. Sitting in a little jail cell, prison cell. And all of a sudden I said, I'm just sitting there thinking, what happened? And I picked up the Bible and I laid it down on the bed and it opened up to that chapter. And I looked down and read verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit that just came into me right there quickened my soul, and I got confirmation in my heart from that word right there that what happened to me is I got born again. Amen? So the wind blows where it will. But see, I was a participant in that. And this is the part a lot of folks don't like. I was a participant in that. I was not just passively sitting there on the bed and all of a sudden God went, boop, you're born again. I was born again that day. Now listen to me, I want to say this right. I was born again that day. Many things happened, but that day when Christ came into me, he came into me that moment when my heart cried out to him, God, I'm a sinner. I can't change. Please come into my life. And right there, it's like my burden just lifted away. Right? Psalm 32. Blessed he whose sins are forgiven. Right? Whose transgressions are covered. Right? Now, you can debate all day long. Did I get born again and then believe, or did I believe and get born again? Did I cry out after I was regenerated? All that stuff. I know that day I got born again, and it's because God burdened me down so hard and told me, I sent my son to die for you. And when I cried out to him, he saved me. And I knew he did, right? You can argue with me all day long about that. He spoke to me off a pencil, Bible verse on a pencil that day, 2 days before. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I knew that day, I didn't get saved that day, but I knew somebody turned on a light, and the light came on, and I knew that day if I was going to come to him, I had to come out. Amen? I don't know, you know, maybe work different for somebody else. I don't know. I believe you got to be born again, right? But I believe, I really don't like to say you got to be born again to believe, because then you start telling people now you got to wait till you get born again to believe. I believe when you get born again, you believe. I believe when you believe, that's when you get born again. It's just something that God does, and when it does, the power of God that draws you to regeneration, when regeneration takes place, all of that stuff happens. It's not one, two, three, it's boom. Right? Yes. Faith, I would say it like Spurgeon did, faith is the index. He said, I see faith as being the index of regeneration. And I think that's a good word, the index. It's the thing you see that manifests it. True? It's the thing that happens that manifests that work that God did in you, the wind that was blowing that nobody could see where it was going or where it was coming from, and all of a sudden, boom, I believe, and it happened. And after it was all over with, I'm thinking, what in the world happened to me? Right? Now, I've still got 4 minutes before I'm past my limit, right? But I'm sorry, I'm a preacher. Got a little preaching in me. I love to teach, but I love the gospel, right? I ain't trying to argue with nobody. I ain't trying to be contrary to anybody. I just know when God saves you, he saves you, right? And he does it. But you don't know what God's doing until it happens. Sit around and wait for God to do something. He already did it. He already died on the cross. And he said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So when you believe, you're born again. Now, I'm not saying that born again, that believing created the new birth. That's not what we're saying at all. I used to think that. I just think it happens in such a way where you can't sit around and nitpick about which one came first. Neither one of them came first. They came all at the same time. Now, one may be the fruit of the other, but it's still boom. Now, that's my position on that, right? And that's why I still go into prison and I challenge people to come to Christ. I don't get everybody down on their knees to pray a prayer all the time. I'm not against that. I'm like R.C. Sproul. I'm not against saying, now, if God's dealing with you, raise your hand, right? I'm not against doing that. You might raise your hand and get saved because you're responding to the Spirit of God working in you. Just like Spurgeon, the preacher said, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. And Spurgeon said, my soul looked. So, whatever means God uses to save us, we know that it's because of the work of the Spirit in us. And that when regeneration takes place, the evidence of that is our belief, our repentance, our faith in Him, our trust in Him. You come out on the other side a new creature. Amen? Now, there's a whole lot more in this text, so let me stop right there. Listen, I like to discuss the Word of God too. You understand? If you want to call me up and say, brother, you said this, and I think this. Let's do it, man. I'd love to do that. I'm serious. We really love to do it. I hate for somebody to do that to me with a condescending spirit. Now, that makes me like a bulldog. It makes me want to fight. And I'm sorry I'm like that. But, you know, if you want to discuss this stuff with me, I love it, man. I love to sit down and talk about these things, right? I might get a little dominant. You'll just have to put up with me. That's my character. But when I go home and lay down tonight, I'm going to think about everything you said. Amen? And you're going to think about what I said. And iron's going to sharpen iron, and our sanctification is going to get progressed a little bit. Amen? But brother, I appreciate that message. That's a very good reminder to look back at those passages and remember, you know, we are sanctified in Christ. Are you listening? The moment you get born again, you're a new creature. You become a son of God, right? You have all things that pertain to life and godliness. We're born to an inheritance, adopted, predestined to adoption of sons, predestined to an inheritance. Amen? And once you got that, you got it, man. I wish I could remember that, brother. I mean, because I don't act like it sometimes. I'm serious. Sometimes I say, God, forgive me for acting like a heathen. I'm a child of God, and I'm acting like a heathen. Do you ever do that? I do. Because I don't remember. Sometimes I just, it's just beyond me sometimes to be thinking about that all the time, right? But it's true, right? And that's why we need to grow, amen? That's why we need to understand who we are in Christ, that we're justified, that we're sanctified, that we're justified, that we're glorified. Amen. I got to stop. Father, thank you for this time together tonight. We thank you for the food that the ladies prepared. Thank you for Brother David and Timothy allowing us to do this here. And thank you just for the fellowship, Lord. We just pray you'll take this little seed of this meeting and let it grow, Lord. And maybe others can be added and we can have fellowship and begin to have an effect, Lord, upon this nation, not only as individuals, but as a group of preachers and churches, Lord. And Father, we'll give you thanks for it. I pray for the needs of each one here tonight, the financial needs, that you'll meet those needs, the spiritual needs, anyone that's not saved tonight here, that you'll draw them. Lord, but we thank you for salvation. Thank you for leaving your throne, donning the flesh of man, walking down here, suffering what you did, bearing our sins in your own body, rising again, seated now. Lord, we look forward to that day when you come again. Thank you, Lord, that all of who we are is in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.